Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came, and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. Just then Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged, it is me. Do not be afraid." And Peter replied, "Lord, if it is you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened and he began to sink and he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. And then those in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." And there ends the reading, a word from the Lord. Thank you to God. Let us sing.
Most clearly. 10 years later, this month,
by the grace of God, Raul Patul showed up and was reunited with her family. There she is in the middle. Mom on the left side of me, Grandma on the other side. Apparently what happened was there was a fisherman from another island who rescued her, picked up this 4-year-old girl, gave it to his own mother, who raised her for the next 10 years until last week. And this is the picture from the Globe and Mail. I don't know what it is, but I think there's something about meeting challenges and meeting trials that clarifies our own priorities and tells us or shows us what life is really like. And sometimes these moments are just like this, brief moments. They just happen. No one would have known or thought that 10 years later, this girl would show up. Now, a growing woman. I think that is part of what is happening in today's gospel reading. Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus feeding the thousands who followed him in the desert. After that, maybe what happens, everybody was tired. And Jesus told the disciples, go ahead, go into this lake, which is called the Sea of Galilee. Go without me. And he remains behind and sends the crowds on their way. And then when all of that was over, he spends time in prayer by himself. And while the disciples were crossing that storm rises, and they spent the better part of an anxious night staying after battling those waters, and in the early hours of the morning, I'm sure they had very little sleep, they see Jesus sauntering across the water to meet them, although they did not recognize who he was. So they thought that they were seeing a ghost. The storyteller says that what they thought was a ghost begins to speak to them, reassuring them that it is the Lord. It is Jesus who is coming to them. And that assurance appeared to have worked. Because a little bit later, Peter asks, if it is you, then call me, and I will walk towards you. And Jesus said, come. Or today they say, cool, come on in. Come on out. When Jesus remarks, or when Peter moves up, what happens? Tell me. You know the story. Yes, Ernie.
He walks on the water until he realizes what he's doing, and he doubts so much or thinks all the Lord to rescue.
Right. So what would be the lesson? No change. You did this for Bible study, did you? Now, what would be a lesson, even if I'm sure you've heard this story before, right? So Hardy just said, he walks on the water, realizes that he was walking on water, begins to have doubts about it, starts to sink. Okay, so that's, did you hear that? No chance, please, just one more time. One of the lessons that preachers have remarked about the story is, keep your eyes on Jesus. I think on record that the first person to cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope is Nick Malenda. Yes? That happened just a couple of years ago. And when he was crossing from the U.S. side of Niagara to the Canadian side, and I remember when he got to the Canadian side, one of the newscasters asked him, so what would you advise for anybody who wants to do what you did? And Nick Malenda said, don't look down. And that's really what he did. He said that as he was walking that tightrope, his decides we're just focused on Canada, the other side. And he got there. I don't know how many hours it took him to walk through. But part of what strikes me in the passage is how it reveals something that is very deeply human. I, like the rest of us, tend to take God's presence for granted sometimes. And it takes something like this to be able to realize what it's all about. Jesus remarked on the lack of faith of Peter, but it is also at this moment that his disciples are like seeing Jesus for the first time. What amazes people are reading this is that the same person has just done that thing about multiplying loaves and fishes, but they did not have a response that you are the Son of God. But this one did, apparently. This one on the water. I'm not totally sure why this is. I think part of it is we spend a fair amount of our time working for stable, safe, and secure lives, both for us and for the people that we love. And there's nothing wrong with that as far as that goes. From the beginning, God desires that we flourish and we prosper, that we're happy. But often enough, what happens is because of this, people no longer feel a need for God. We tend to forget that everything is a gift, and it is God who holds everything together until tragedy strikes. A tsunami comes and sweeps everything away. The image that an author put, it is like they set the table with all of the finery. Imagine all of the goblets, the flatware, the plates, all of the silvers are there, and God grabs the tip of the tablecloth and sweeps the entire thing away. The way another person said that to me is, when my foundations were being shaken, I prayed to God for strength, only to realize that it was God who had shaken the foundation. Divorce, job loss, a negative report from a routine exam, an accident, a death in the family, and then we have a Peter in the water moment. Our need for God becomes painfully clear, and believe it or not, this is one reason that brings people to church sometimes. Inside them, they're saying, I've tried just about everything else, so why don't I try God for a change? And like every story in Scripture, this one tells us something about ourselves, it tells us something about God as well. It teaches us that no matter what it is that brings us forward or brings us back to our need for God, God responds by saying, come. God doesn't say, when things are good, you forgot about me. Now that you're in trouble, you're coming running to me. God doesn't say that. What God says in Scripture is, come. Come to me, those who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Not for you. Not shame. Not condemnation, but rest. Peace is what God offers. And as Jesus reassures the disciples and reaches out to grab Peter's arm, God responds to us with that same compassion and that same support. Always. The second thing is, God not only responds to our needs, but God also desires that we seek lives of faithfulness and surrender. What do you have out there? And you're reading the sign outside, some of you? Continue this sentence. Brian, can you hear? Are you able to hear a little bit of what I'm saying? No? I'll come closer to you. So the people are there. If you trust nothing in your own understanding, if you surrender everything to God, God will crown every effort that you make with success and prosperity. It's a powerful promise. And there are people who don't come to this church, but they read that outside. They read that while waiting for their bus. So Jesus has revealed God's presence, God's identity, and encourages the disciples, leave fear behind. If you follow me, one of the things you begin to realize is that you can begin to live fearless lives if you don't trust in your own understanding. You can walk on water. Maybe not literally. But that's the metaphor of ghosts. Somebody played with that and said, if you want to walk on water, you got to step out of your boat. True? So whatever it is that we cling on for security, that's our boat. That's the one that we are invited to step out of. And that is the key and the way into walking on water. And if you follow Lochin's advice, keep your eyes on the person in front of you. The one who invites you, the one who tells you, come. So today we can take that one step further and ask about the hopes and dreams that God has for us as a community of faith, and promise that God will continue to encourage us through the rough waters. So I invite you during these prayers of the people, in your own prayers, to lift up your burdens to God, to surrender your lives, which is a very difficult thing for all of us, to lift up our fears. As the introduction said, give God all your tears and sadness. Give God all. Let God have all your years of pain. Knowing that God will want to free us from that burden. We all need those words or those promises. Words of comfort in these challenging times. And if it's rough, I say that with no hesitation. It is rough out there. And many times we could be telling ourselves, I wish I could just stay in my boat. Wherever you are on your journey, may God grab your arm. May you find comfort, may you find strength, may you find refuge in this God of your worship. And may God call courage out of us as we step out into the deep today. May it be so. Praise God. Amen. For this prayer of the people, I ask you to begin by praying for ourselves, for our own moments of health. Begin to pray for ourselves and try to remember those moments that we felt that our lives were sinking in the water. Let's just sit with that for a while. And then let us remember those, some of them members of our own church, who have great personal challenges with guilt, with loneliness, the feeling of being abandoned, the feeling of being separated and isolated in a room, those who are in hospital, those who are shut in, those who are unable to come to church much as they want to. They are part of our community and our church, and are praying with us at this time. Let us pray for people who are living in very tragic, sometimes violent circumstances. Think of the people in the Ukraine. Think of the people in Iran. Think of the girls in Nigeria who are still not yet found. Think of all the wars that are going on right now and the people in refugee camps who are not thinking about tomorrow, but are just thinking about how they will make it through today. And I'm that Louise that play Where Have All the Flowers Gone, and we will sing with the video this one verse.